And now take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6.
Children, when you pray,
all the time. That's a great answer. When do you pray? When you go to bed. Who else? When do you guys pray? Before you eat. Okay? Any other times to pray? We've kind of covered it, right? All the time. Before you go to bed, before you eat. Well, the rest of you, when do you pray? After devotions. Okay? How many of you pray first thing in the morning? Yeah, I see a hand in the back. Nobody? Okay. We pray at various times, morning, evening, before bed, before meals. How did you learn to pray? You were taught by your dad. Good job. I would hope that'd be the testimony for many of us, taught to pray by our dad, by our parents, maybe by your grandparents. You might have been fed lines. You know, here's how you pray. Say this, say this, say this. You heard it. If you grew up in a Christian home, you were prayed with. And you kind of pick it up from the environment. How many of you were taught the Lord's Prayer? That's a good model. If you don't know the Lord's Prayer, you should learn it. Maybe we should start using it as a congregation. For what do you pray? Salvation. Anything else? What do you pray for? You pray for food? I pray for food. Africa, okay? Pray for your family, okay? That's right, we pray for anything and everything. Nothing is beyond our concern. Whatever's on our heart, we pray for. Why do you pray? And I'll let this open up for some of your older young children, perhaps, teenagers and others. Why do we pray? God wants us to pray. Why else do you pray? What's that? To connect with God. Excellent. Because God hears and answers prayer. You know, if God doesn't hear an answer, it's a waste of breath. We pray for all of these reasons because God hears and answers. And the Bible says a lot about prayer. In fact, the Bible says pray at all times, which seems kind of hard to, when you think about it. I have to concentrate. How do I do that? We're told in the scriptures to be devoted to prayer. And we do this because this is the chief means by which God's kingdom comes. There's that line in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, here as there. And so we pray. And this is what Paul says at the end of his letter to the Ephesians. And I'm going to set it in context. We're going to start reading at chapter 6, verse 10, and read to the end. But I'm going to particularly focus on verses 18 to 20. So, children, you can follow along, look in the Bible, and this is one way how you learn to read. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, I will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Last week, we looked in depth at the armor of God, because we are at war. Not a conventional war, but a spiritual one. We find that war manifest in ourselves, certainly in the world, and in heavenly places. The kingdom of Christ is at war with the kingdom of darkness. And we find ourselves in the midst of that struggle. So to engage in this warfare, to stand firm, to overcome the evil one, we need to be proficient with this weaponry. But also, we are to pray at all times. We're in a cosmic struggle. This sounds a little overwhelming when he describes it this way. We are not struggling against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Wow. These forces sound quite imposing. They sound powerful, and they are. But greater is he who is with us than our opponents. Because according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus has actually been seated above them. That power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. So while we are struggling against these forces, know that these forces are actually subjected to King Jesus. He sits above them. These rulers and these authorities have been disarmed. You look over at Colossians chapter 2, Colossians 2, verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in the cross. The moment in which these forces thought perhaps they had gained the upper hand in the crucifixion of the Son of God turns out to be the very means by which they are disarmed. In the greatest display of weakness, there is the greatest display of power. The prince of the power of the air has been cast down, and he has been bound. And yet, these forces still exert influence. They still pose a threat. The evil one and those allied with him still spread discord. They spread doubt. They bring discouragement. They blind unbelievers to the truth. According to 2 Corinthians 4, Paul writes this, "If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." That's what he does. He blinds people to the truth. This is why we need such imposing weaponry of our own, the full armor of God. It's why we need to be praying at all times in the Spirit. Why in the Spirit? Because our flesh wants nothing to do with this. I know this from my own personal experience. I get really sleepy when I try to pray. A couple things that help me. Pray out loud and pray with somebody else. But sleep will overcome. Start moving into spiritual things and the flesh starts to get a little lethargic. Why? Because the flesh fights. So we need to pray. Jesus takes three of his closest friends to the garden with him. This is the night of his betrayal, the last night with them. And what happens to his three friends? They fall asleep. Jesus says, actually, watch, be alert, and pray. And they are overcome, and they fall asleep. The flesh wants nothing to do with this, but we must persist. Romans 12, we are to be constant in prayer, or devoted to prayer. Many of you perhaps have memorized Philippians 4, 6. In the face of worry, you are not to be anxious, but to do what? Pray. Be anxious for nothing. Or don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what does he grant? The peace of Christ. A peace that surpasses understanding. Paul has prayed that we might know the unknowable. A peace that passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds. In Colossians chapter 4, as those who have put on Jesus, we are to continue steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, we are to pray without ceasing. Peter in 1 Peter 4 says, be self-controlled and sober for the purpose of prayer. Why? Because the end of all things is at hand. Well, if the end of all things was at hand 2,000 years ago, they must be even more at hand today. So we are to be self-controlled and sober for the purpose of prayer. In fact, prayer is to mark the Christian and his or her household. Does it? Does it mark your life? Are you a man or a woman of prayer? Is your household a household of prayer? Are we a church that prays? There used to be such a thing as the prayer meeting. All kinds of things about whatever became of the prayer meeting. I have something to say about that, but later. But God's people pray. And you can go through the Bible and see all kinds of examples. Isaac prays for his wife because she doesn't have any children. And she wants them. And there's a promise in Isaac that through him there will come a seed. And she doesn't have any children, so he prays for her. Surprisingly, the prophet Elijah prays that it won't rain. We're hoping for rain around here. Elijah says, it's not going to rain. For how long did it not rain? Here's your quiz for the day. 3 years. Why would somebody pray that it doesn't rain for 3 years? He wants to bring about the conversion and the repentance of his people. When bad things happen, does it drive us to pray? It's an exhortation from God to pray, to seek my face. Hezekiah prays for Jerusalem's deliverance from the Assyrians. He prays that he might himself be healed. Daniel prays regularly, 3 times a day. Ezra leads his people in a prayer of confession. The early church, we're told, twice in Acts 1 and in Acts 2, they were devoted to prayer. That's what they did. They prayed. They also prayed for boldness, not unlike what Paul asks for here. Look, Lord, now upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. They prayed for boldness because they were threatened. Paul asks the Ephesians, pray that I might have boldness. The church prayed for Peter when he was in prison that he might be released. And he was miraculously released. This wasn't a court process that set him free. It was an angel that set him free. Jesus himself prayed. He prayed often. He prayed early. He prayed late. He prayed all night. He prayed with the disciples. He prayed alone. Do we pray at all times? Is that your first go-to in the face of need or in the face of joy to give thanks, to acknowledge God? And if you need any more incentive, we sang Psalm 34. I'd say sing Psalm 34 again. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord, and he answered, and he delivered. This poor man cried, the Lord heard and saved. The Lord's ear is attuned to his people. You mothers know a bit what that's like. Your ear is attuned. And I'm always interested that a bunch of moms together and one child begins to cry and the right mother responds. Just like, ah, it's not mine. And they say, oh yeah, that's mine. And to the untrained ear, these cries all sound alike. But no, they're not. Your Father in heaven, his ear is attuned to you. And this sounds kind of weird, but he has time for you. God, who is infinite, yeah, he's got all the time in the world. And his ear is attuned to you. The psalmist goes on, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers. Psalm 34 alone is the incentive to pray. Psalm 65, which is our new psalm of the month, God is the one who hears prayer. That's why we pray. And he answers by awesome deeds and wonders. Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable so that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. How many of you have kind of given up on a prayer? I have. Thought, I guess, yeah, I don't know whether the answer is no, whatever. But that parable is that we might always pray and not lose heart. But at the end of the parable, he says this, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? The expected answer is yes, he will. Will he delay long over them? Expected answer is no, he won't. He won't delay long. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith? The theologian John Calvin said that faith was one, well, prayer was the chief exercise of faith. Because you believe that God is, and that God hears, and that God acts and answers. Will he find faith? God answers prayer. He works his plan, but it is our responsibility and our privilege to be involved in his work through prayer. See, we know how the end comes out. Jesus triumphs. But in the meantime, we struggle against rulers and authorities and cosmic powers and spiritual forces. And we need his help. And we gain that help by praying all the time. And so Paul says this, for the sake of prayer, be alert. Be alert. Be watchful. Be persistent. Might even say, be eager. Are you eager to pray? Again, when somebody shares something with you, do you immediately take it to God in prayer? Or do you put that off? I learned long ago as a young pastor, when somebody says, hey, would you pray for me, to do it right then. Because if you say, sure, and then you don't, well, you didn't. And that's a lack of integrity. So do it right then. The Spirit is right there. He'll hear. So we pray for marriages. We pray for health. We pray for jobs. We pray about our government. We pray for rain. I've prayed for parking spaces. Maybe you have too, particularly when there are shortages of them. God cares about the mundane things of our lives, and so we pray. But we also pray for laborers for the harvest fields. Jesus said the fields were ready, but the workers were few. The workers are still few. We need to pray for laborers. We need to pray for boldness. For ourselves and for others. You think the Apostle Paul, he needs boldness. How about you and me? And why does Paul particularly ask for boldness? It is likely that he would shortly stand before Caesar. He's going to gain an audience with the most powerful magistrate at that point on earth. And he wants the right message. Because he's appealed to Caesar. That's why he's in jail. He's in prison. He's waiting to be heard by Caesar. And he's going to make a defense. What's he going to say? How long will he have? I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour? If you had an audience with the most powerful leader on the face of the earth for 5 to 10 minutes, what would you tell him? Paul wants to use that time just so. So he prays for boldness. So we pray. And I would encourage you to use these prayers from Ephesians, as we've already heard read today. Pray for wisdom and enlightenment. Pray for power so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Pray that our love might abound, that our love might be pure and blameless, that we might be filled with the fruit of righteousness, that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will so that we might walk worthy. Pray that the name of the Lord Jesus might be glorified in us. Pray for Christ's return in power and glory. Almost every one of Paul's letters, he begins with a prayer. You could take that up and start praying that for us. Pray that for me. Learn the Lord's Prayer. Pray like it. Pray with imperatives. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us of my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Be specific. Be explicit. What do you want God to do for you? We like to pray sometimes, you know, God bless so-and-so. Well, what does that mean? Get specific. Give them a new job. Give her children. Give them financial blessing. Whatever it might be, give them a new car. Give them a heart for Jesus. Really, what do you want the God of all the earth, the one who created the cosmos, what do you want Him to do for you and in your household? And in your church, and in your community, and in your nation, and in the world. Ask. We have the privilege to enter into the throne room of heaven. Paul would stand before Caesar. We get to stand before the dread sovereign of all the cosmos. The all-powerful, all-loving God who is in Christ your Father. And He says, come to me. Come by faith and with humility to find grace. Something I learned from my children is that children don't speak in riddles. There is no doubt what children want. I want that. I want more of that. Please fix this. Whatever it might be. I say, learn from them. Go to the Father and be specific. This is what I want you to do. Please do this. There are times for deliberate prayer. There are times for spontaneous prayer. There is public prayer. There's private prayer. Whatever it might be, we offer our prayers with adoration and praise, confession and forgiveness, thanksgiving and petition. But we are to pray at all times, with all supplication for all the saints. And by prayer, we take the battle to our enemy. We're on the offense. The gates of hell will not prevail. So I would encourage us to make this summer a summer of constant, comprehensive prayer. And right now, we don't have anything scheduled from 9:30 to 10:15. So I'm going to invite all of you, some of you, any of you would like to come at 9:45, so quarter to 10, to come and pray with me in this back room here for a half hour. We aren't going to talk about praying. We're not going to read about praying. We're going to show up and pray. If you want to come at 10, join us for 15 minutes. If you want to come at 10 after 10, come for 5 minutes, but we're praying. Bring whatever's on your heart, and let's pray together. But if you are not in Christ today, begin there. If you are not in Christ, if you have not sought Him, this intimate relationship with the Father is not yours. But it can be. Just ask. Father, reveal your Son to me by your Spirit. Forgive my sins and give me a new mind and new heart. Ask that, and He will hear, and He will forgive, and He will renew you. Let's pray together. Lord, you've encouraged us to pray. And so we have, and we will. And we do so now, asking your forgiveness for our lack of prayer, our prayerlessness. Would we have not turned to you as the first resort, but too often as the last resort? Well, I've tried everything else, so might as well try prayer, as opposed to starting with you and enjoying that rich fellowship. It is our communion with you. It's like being with our best friend. You might even just be quiet together, but you're together. And so it is, you've said, you'll be with us always, even to the end of the age. So, Lord, you've called us into this rich fellowship in Christ. Reveal yourself to us. And if there are some here today that need to start a relationship with you, hear their prayer. Call them now by your Spirit. And this we pray through Jesus.